Hey, bear with me a bit. I'm using my left hand today, and with good reason. We'll talk about some left-handed comments made by an archbishop that kind of ended up rather insignificant. We'll also be reviewing some voice recognition software. How about that? And of course, David Bowie, his passing, Martin Luther King, they all make it. This is episode 398, and I am Father Voskin, inviting you to take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, good to be here with you today. Hope it's a beautiful one for you. It is in Southern California. The seventh day of a recovery, yes. Right after a podcast last week, I went in for surgery on my shoulder. This needed to be done for a couple of years. Been putting it off for a variety of reasons. Finally got around to it. And now I've got this giant sling on me. I've got a right arm that's kind of elevated and away from me. The fingers work, but the arm itself has to be like in stationary position. And I do have a left hand, which is kind of I'm finding out is relatively useless. I mean, it's nice when it works in combination with the right, but I can't write with it. I pick up the pen and I'm trying to write with my left hand. In my head, I'm thinking I could do this, but I couldn't. The letters, the numbers just look horrible. They don't even look like anything that you could read sensibly afterwards. So anyway, I am on the road to recovery, and it's been filled with a lot of times for reflection. You had a chance to catch up on some reading, catch up on some movies. I watched Forrest Gump for... I hadn't seen it in like 15 years since it first came out, or whenever it came out. You know, I watched it yesterday. Fantastic movie. Forgot how good it was. It was really a great, great movie. Had a chance to see some other movies. One was called Unfinished Life with Paul Newman and Jennifer Lopez and Morgan Freeman. Very good. I would highly recommend it. The ending is fantastic because it brings to... It's obvious that they have watched the same Broderick Crawford Highway Patrol episodes that I have. So that was a great ending to it. But anyway, I had a chance to watch some movies and kind of recovering and being a pest and a nuisance, I guess, to my wife, Susan, because she has to put up with me. I'm not really the best patient. I guess I'm a good patient, but it's when it comes down to taking orders, not a really great fan of taking orders. And, you know, you got to, in the rehab, in the recovery mode, you have to, well, you have to kind of go by what the doctor tells you. So, doctor didn't tell me that I cannot do a podcast, so I'm doing a podcast. Great to be here with you today. Going to share some ideas with you, some things that I've been reading about and thinking about, and I hope that it'll click. It'll click and make some sense with all of you listening. Also, on this road to recovery, I've had to find some ingenious means of getting around and doing the things that you're supposed to do when you don't have access to your hand. Like my dad was, I remember him being ambidextrous. We were told, he told us, or somebody told us. I remember he was very fluent with both of his hands, but that gene didn't really sift down to any one of us. Maybe at the most, maybe to my sister. But yeah, that would be pretty cool. But like I said, I'm looking at the writings that I'm doing with my left hand, and it just looks like garbage. So I figured, okay, let me use some of the... hey, we're technology people, right? right? This shouldn't be the end of the world, right? We got technology, a means to an end, and so let's use it. And so voice recognition, yeah, pretty cool. Well, I got the chance in the last few days. I got a chance to check out voice recognition, and let me tell you the products. First of all, Apple's voice recognition is excellent, but only on Apple products. I mean, it's better on Apple products. The Windows side of it, I tried the voice recognition that came with Windows 10, and just horrible. I mean, the accuracy level. And I know I use a lot of words that might not be in the book, in the dictionary. I may throw in some Armenian words, but those you expect, right? You expect it not to catch those, and then you go in there and you fix it up. But I'm talking about, like, Apple recognition was about 95%, I'd say. But here's what's interesting. I've been using it on the iPad. Apple recognition with Apple products. When I use Apple recognition with the Apple pages, it's really 95 to 99% accurate. When I use Microsoft Word on the iPad and go through the recognition, go through the microphone feature, it's not as accurate. I've noticed that. Now, it shouldn't be, right? The infrastructure, the bottom line, the structure of it is coming from Apple. It should be the same recognition, but it's not for some reason. And like I said, on the Windows side, horrible. I had horrible results, and I don't know if it's the machine I'm using or what, but I expect it a lot better at this point. So there you have it. off-the-cuff kind of reviews of the products, and I've been using the recognition. Now, there is a downside to it, too. It's fantastic because you're just talking to the mic, and it writes everything up, and you're seeing it right on the screen. But because I'm using Pages, a relatively small format, at least for me, something that I don't use regularly, I have to go through the laborious process of cutting and pasting. So off of Pages, I have to select it and cut it, paste it into a format to email it to myself, or else actually have it convert the pages to a Microsoft Word format, send it along. You know the drills. If you're stuck between the worlds, you know the drills that you have to go through. But it is a workaround, and certainly beats these obscure hieroglyphics that come out of my left hand. It really does. At least I could manage to read it afterwards. So, that being said, I put down some notes as I was doing some reading through the week, and I wanted to begin by sharing with you some waste of time reading. Now, I told you, I've been watching some movies, and a few months ago, I made this commitment to myself, and I don't think I've really express it to anyone except to my wife Susan, that, you know, hey, if we're going to watch movies, at least for me, I want to watch some decent movies. There's so much garbage out there. There's so much garbage out there that you don't want to waste your time. You've got limited time. If you're going to watch some movies, let's watch some of the classics. And over the past couple months, what little time we've had, we've actually, I think it was New Year's or Christmas or sometime, we watched Gone with the Wind, epic. I hadn't seen that for many years. We watched Casablanca. See, now they're really good. I wouldn't mind watching, of course, I wouldn't mind watching Wizard of Oz again. But yeah, what is it? Jimmy Stewart movie. It's a Wonderful Life. I think we made it through Christmas and New Year's without watching it this year. So I'm kind of like ready for that. I wouldn't mind it. But I had a chance to watch Forrest Gump. And what a beautiful movie. I watched it a couple days ago because I was, you know, when you're recovering from the shoulder injury, it's kind of like you can't lay down. So you kind of got to be propped up, and you got to prop up the sling. So it's kind of like this awkward position that you're in. So you kind of got to watch movies and everything that you're doing in the awkwardness of recovery. And so I had a chance to watch Forrest Gump. What a great movie that was. That was really nice. And some other good things. And in the same way, when it came to reading, I thought to myself, okay, I want to really focus in and get some reading done that is really necessary. There's so many. There's some of the classics that you've heard about and you know all your life. You've talked about these books and you've maybe skimmed through them, but have you spent the time? Or if you did, maybe you did during your college years when you were young and never really had a chance to. I mean, think about it. When you were going to school, did you really appreciate all the stuff that now? I've said this many times. I think that we are backwards in the way we live. I mean, we have the energy. When we're young, we should send young people to go work right off the bat. They ain't the ones who need to work because they just don't understand or appreciate education. And I like, for me at least, you know, I wouldn't mind working when I was a kid, made all the money that I could. Then, at some age of reason, whatever it may be, 30, 35, 40, then you kick back and you go to school, and I guarantee you, you're going to appreciate that school much better. I know right now, you know, I would say after 50, definitely, you would really enjoy school. I wouldn't mind going to a couple classes, not being under the pressure of having to get the grades to make it and to get your degree, but just to enjoy and really absorb and learn something. And so it was with my reading. You know, I want to do some reading where so many ideas have been popped around, tossed around, get some ideas and really share them. So along that line, I found some horrible reading too. And it was in Armenian newspaper. I was just really shocked that we're at this point. I don't really get a chance to read Armenian newspapers. A lot of them come to the church where I work, and we pass them out. There's a lot of people who come in and do some reading in the office, in the reading room. Every so often I'll glance through them, because as it is right now, these days, we are more, our news, our information comes to us by the internet. And so really, newspapers have become obsolete. But there is some value. You pick it up, it feels good, takes you back to another era. And I saw last week's interesting, one of the Armenian newspapers had three columns dedicated to Armenian Christmas. Why January 6th? What should we do about January 6th? How to celebrate? And then this one, which is called What is the History of Christmas Celebrations, by an Archbishop Levon Zakeyan, who I believe he's part of the Roman Catholic Rite of the Armenian, or the Armenian Roman Catholic, whatever it may be. Interesting, he's written an article, What is the History of Christmas Celebrations? Like, is there anything left in the world? I mean, is there nothing else that we can talk about these days? Can you imagine sending somebody a Christmas card and saying, oh, by the way, let me explain to you why I'm celebrating January 6th, why I'm out of it. I mean, it's really bizarre. I mean, the apologetics that come out in the form of clergy and why we're apologizing for something that we know what it is. Okay, January 6th, December 25th, whatever it may be. But this was an interesting article, and I want to share with you some of the ideas, why it caught me off guard. So let me begin. I guess it's best that I read it. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre. This is an archbishop. Like I said, I'm not really sure. I guess he's from the Roman Catholic Rite somehow. And even more surprising that he would write something like this. Writes, Christmas is one of two most important holidays in Christianity. Easter being the most important one. Okay, very nice, right? We respect the Virgin Mary as the mother of Jesus Christ, not as an Ave, A-V-E, I know. I think Ave Maria is right, is an exclamation to Maria, so I'm not really sure what that means, not as an A-V-E, not as an Ave. Holidays of the Virgin Mary are also the holidays of Jesus Christ. The conception of Jesus was the power of the Holy Spirit. It is celebrated March 25th and on April 7th by the Armenians. And here goes like Confusion City, okay? You know, this is my point of remarkability. Here we are trying to refine and really make it relevant. Talk about obscurity. Talk about irrelevance. Are you ready for this? I'll just read it through, okay? March 21st is the beginning of spring, and the Holy Spirit is the power of the Holy Spirit is celebrated March 25th and on April 7th by Armenians. Easter is a celebration on the first Sunday after the first full moon of spring. Easter date differs because of different calendars. Today, Gregorian calendar is commonly used in the West, and Rumi calendar is behind 13 days from it. For instance, Christmas is celebrated on December 25th, but the ones who use Rumi calendars celebrated on January 7th. Only Armenian Apostolic Church celebrates Christmas on January 6th. However, the birthday of Jesus Christ is neither December 25th nor January 6th. Christmas is not as old as Easter. It doesn't date back to the first days of Christianity. Christmas was started to be celebrated on the 4th century. The choice of dates for this celebration can be explained as the following. In pagan times, on the holiday of Anahid, the major goddess of Armenians, grapes were offered to her. Now you get ready for this, right? Grapes from... We're going over to the Virgin Mary and grapes, okay? Anahit isn't the goddess of love. She is the goddess of earth. Her husband, Aramast, is equal to Zeus. However, Zeus is dependent on the wishes of Hera because he is lustful. In Eastern world, Aramast is an invisible god. He enjoys silence and tranquility. On the other hand, Anahit is goddess of moral pureness. Her duty is to clean the semen of men and wombs of women so that the babies would be born pure. Anahit is referred to as the queen of Armenians. Since the grape is the most beautiful product of the earth, it is very important for the Armenians before Christianity, and that is why we were offering it to Anahit. Krikor Lusavorich presented this holiday to the Virgin Mary. Thus, the Virgin Mary replaced Anahit. Did you get that? Pretty wild, huh? Until the 4th century, the community was pagan. In 313, Christians were given freedom. Now, you know, that's the tip-off that this guy's a Catholic, right? After that, the community became slowly Christianized and wanted to celebrate Christmas. In the West, Zeus holiday was December 25th. On the morning on December 25th, the days started to get longer. Zeus is sun, the brightest, shiniest light. Jesus Christ is the light of God. So they made the holiday of Zeus, holiday of Jesus Christ. Anyway, it goes on, and I'm just reading it, and I'm thinking, wow. You know, we're trying to make things a little bit more pertinent, relevant, and here we go with Zeus and Anahit and grapes, and oh boy. And I'm looking through the papers, and there's this apology going on about, like, this is why we celebrate January 6th or 7th for the Russians, and then, oh, by the way, the Jerusalemites, they do it on January 19th, and because they're on the old calendar... And it just hit me like, you know, if there's ever a time for Armadoxy, this is it. Armadoxy is irrelevant of the date we celebrate Christmas, right? I've shared this with you in the past, and it is one of the tenets of Armadoxy. And so it kind of like pushes me to really start thinking about all that we are doing and the importance of the things that we are doing. I was reading through some of these articles in the paper, these apologetics, and I'm realizing that there are people being influenced by what we are talking about. More and more people are citing us as an example. And that makes me feel good. It means that we are reaching an audience that doesn't want to get messed up with all this triviality about the Zeuses and the Heras and the grapes. And this is great little fiction, fantasy, mythology that you can sit and read. And it's important. I think it's important in the sense that you've got to strip away some of this mythology that's all around us. And that includes within Christianity, within the Judeo-Christian world too. Obviously, there's just too much of it. It also tells us that what we are doing, the Armadox way, Armodoxy is basically stripping away all the hoopla and really kind of like understanding what it's about. It's a message of love. It's a message of understanding, of compassion. Anyway, just wanted to start off with that kind of bizarre twist to this whole thing. Let's take a break right now. I'm going to do the song of the day and give me a chance to put my arm up a little bit. I just noticed that gravity is pulling on my arm, and I don't get a chance to be sitting in this chair with the microphone too often. Well, since my surgery, since the whole week. So let me put my arm down. I'm going to play for you some Luis, okay? This is a group called Luis. Had a chance to see them in one of the caves at Gerard last year. And just want to share this with you. Hope you enjoy it. That is Luis Vocal Quintet. I had a very unique and really completely unexpected opportunity to hear them in person. This was back in 2014. We were at Gerard and going through the caves and doing some recording work over there. And I saw the priest and who said, "Derhad, did you know that there's singers up in the caves?" And I said, "No." And we went, and luckily we had our recording instruments, went up into the caves, and there we saw, experienced, in those caves, in those ancient caves, the Luis Vocal Quintet, this group of five women. Oh, it was unbelievable. It's like going up to heaven. And I do have the recordings, videos. I still haven't been able to put them in a form that make it what I wanted when I went and do with those recordings. But anyway, this is the vocal quintet off of a CD that they made back in 2009. Now, so after the women sang, I went up to them and did a little bit of talking, and they did have this CD, which I purchased off of them. I'm not sure if this is going to be available. I'm going to put the website that's on the CD on here. It says Narigatsi Art Institute, narigatsi.org. It'll be on our show notes, so you could check out whatever remnants there are of it. I have a feeling it might be a little bit difficult to get your hands on this, but in any case, for this Thursday in January, I think it's a beautiful way to remind us of what we're all about. It's orthodoxy in its purest form, orthodoxy in its most radiant and beautiful form. Luis Vogel Quintet. This week also marked the passing of David Bowie, age 69. And wherever you were on this spectrum, you liked him, fanatic fan, couldn't stand him, or somewhere in the middle where you liked some of his stuff, maybe not everything. You have to admit that he did change the way music is presented, definitely, right? And I think for me, at least, David Bowie marks really somebody who understood music beyond the reverberation of vocal cords or musical instruments. In other words, music was more than just the music that got to you, what got to your ears, but it became an entire experience, a full experience, including visualization, including characters, including whether it was Ziggy, whether it was him himself, or the androgynous person that he presented up on stage in private life. It was fascinating, so that you understood that the music, the rock that you were listening to was much more than just a hearing, an audio experience, but something that you really engaged in visually, in your remarks, in your reaction to that movie. And certainly for me, that's an important one, because we always talk about through Armadoxy that it becomes a holistic approach to religion. And certainly in Armadoxy, we always talk about that holistic approach to liturgy, understanding that it's not just a case of going to church and showing up and making a sign of a cross or lighting a candle, but it's a holistic experience of body, mind, and soul, where all of your senses, whether they're the five known senses that are present on everyone, or the extraordinary senses that are present on everyone and not everyone really understands that they're present, you know, whatever they may be. It's the holisticness of the liturgy of Armadoxy. I think there's a parallel here, what we saw with Bowie. And so I wanted to remember his passing, and also in the context of someone else that you know here on the next step is very important. Actually, I would venture to say one of the foundations of the In His Shoes ministry, and that, of course, is the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who happened to be a reverend of the gospel. Not happened to be, actually, he was a reverend of the gospel, and all the other accolades and all the other accomplishments came secondary to his profession of the gospel message and his understanding of the power of the gospel, the power of Jesus Christ's message of love, of nonviolent resistance, and how to use this to effectuate change. And this year was kind of an unusual one for me. We started the In His Shoes mission back in 2003. And ever since, beginning in January 2004, until last year, every year we've had a Martin Luther King weekend event here in the United States this past weekend in remembrance of the great civil rights leader's birthday, in commemoration of his birthday, January 15th, I want to say. That weekend, last weekend, is designated as the Martin Luther King holiday. And it's an interesting one because it also goes in line with what we do in His Shoes, right? It's not about commemoration, but not taking off, but taking on challenges. And certainly Martin Luther King, many of the civil rights leaders and the proponents of the King holiday and who want to see the message of King continuing have been very boisterous about making the MLK weekend a weekend not off, but a weekend on, where you are on doing the good things, doing the good deeds, working for peace, working for social justice, working within your communities to help, to love, to propagate the message that Dr. King had. For the last 12 years, we've been having commemorations, which have included retreats, have included getaways, just gatherings. Sometimes, I remember a few years back, we gathered at a gospel breakfast. We listened to gospel music. We had breakfast together and then reflected on Dr. King's words. And I have to share with you that, you know, if you've been listening to the next step, you know what I've been talking about. But if this is one of your first times listening, do not make the big mistake of thinking Dr. King was about someone who got up and said, "I have a dream," and he expounded on his dream in Washington. Certainly that was a very important moment in his entire mission, but it was such more, so much more. I would strongly suggest that you go on the internet and definitely go to your library, get some material about him. But the reason why I say on the internet, because as much as you read about Dr. King, it's important to listen to Dr. King as well. It is not only, like I was saying about David Bowie, it's not just about listening to his music, but it's the persona that came with it. In the same vein, we can say about Dr. King, it's not just about the message, but it's also the delivery. Form and function come together, and they serve his purpose. Very, very important. So do get a chance to listen to some more of his recordings, particularly his sermons. If you can, try to listen to them in a peaceful manner, and go beyond the I have a dream speech, which in itself is beautiful, no question about it. It's in a frame in my office, if you ever come by. It's the Armenian church priest's office that has a big picture of Jesus in there, has Dr. King in a frame, and it has the U.S. Declaration of Independence, along with a few other, very, surreal, experiential paintings that are up on the wall. Anyway, I digress, as I all too often do. This was the first year that we did not have an MLK event. And I don't want to say we did not, because I did. I certainly did, and it became more of a personal event. But because of my physical condition, because I had had this operation on the Friday, I was unable to lead an event, and I was in quite a bit of pain by the time Sunday came along. So what I did is I had a chance to do some armchair reclining and listen to Dr. King's speeches, to read about him, and have a private commemoration. And that's what I want to share with you, this last portion of today's next step, because it occurred to me that in many ways, what I tried to do some 12 years ago was bring a language to the plight that we feel in the Armenian Church. This is what I mean. As you know, we start off this podcast and we talk about it many times, about the disenfranchised. We know that the Armenian Church in itself is a beautiful church, and it has so much to offer the world. And yet it is in the hands of a hierarchy that is unwilling to budge from what they call tradition. And I want to use specifically say that what they call, in other words, lowercase t tradition. In other words, this is the way we've done it. This is the way we will continue to do it. We have a church that, beyond the hierarchy that run it, is also run by people that are foolishly clinging on to a tradition, lowercase t, not an important tradition, to do it. And anybody who walks into an Armenian church and contemplates for a few moments will realize that we are at an impasse right now, that it is so beautiful. We need to pass it along, but we don't have the mechanism. We don't have the drive. We don't have the people. We don't have the commitment level. And some 12 years ago, when I did the first MLK retreat back in 2004, I took a group up into the mountains. It was snow-capped mountains in Dunlap, California. And there we had the first retreat. And what we did is we named the retreat after one of Dr. King's famous writings, Why We Cannot Wait. Dr. King in Birmingham had been jailed and had written this beautiful letter to the clergy and to the people. Like, don't you guys get it? Where would Christ be in the middle of this injustice? Would he be up on a pulpit? Would he be wearing these vestments and talking about the ridiculous, as you heard a few minutes ago, about Zeus? Or would he be talking about justice? Would he be talking about means by which we can rise from our condition? Certainly when Jesus says, I came to give you life and to give you that life abundantly, you could actually extrapolate and you can say, okay, maybe yes, definitely if Jesus were here, what would he do? He would definitely be working for justice in some form. And Dr. King in this letter from Birmingham Jail, I'll definitely put a link on today's show notes to it, do check it out. He challenges not only the clergy, but he challenges every Christian. Like, what does your Christianity mean? And we took that as a challenge for the first MLK retreat. We got together some people and we talked about why we cannot wait if this is the Armenian church. And we're soon going to be losing it unless we refuse to wait and say we need to do something about it. And at that time, I have to tell you, I did feel a major urgency to get this out. And through the years, we have had these retreats. We have called together people. And most of the material for these retreats should be online somewhere. I don't know. I know it's somewhere, but I don't know where it is. And you know what? While I'm recouping, that sounds like a great thing. Susie, if you'll make a note of that. We got to get our MLK retreat material up in front of people. People should see it. You should be able to review it. Definitely on the InIssues homepage, there should be a link to this material. Because through the years, we had all kinds of material, including some connections with the Armenian case, per se. With the Armenian cause, because right around the same time in January, Hrant Dink was assassinated. And we used that, we used the MLK retreat as an opportunity to highlight and underscore the commitment that Dink had for the Armenian cause and what had happened in the aftermath of that assassination and slaying. So, as I was sitting there this weekend, reviewing the material, re-listening to Dr. King, it occurred to me that I had miscalculated one component of the entire exercise. And I want to share that with you because it's important to talk about our accomplishments, also important to talk about some of, I want to say failures, but to say some of the down points at why we're not, and basically analyze why we're not moving forward. And I'll tell you what I miscalculated. Yes, Dr. King gave us the language. He gave us the language, and he told us that if you want to change things, you have to have this commitment. And that commitment should be willing. You're willing to put your life out for it. You're willing to give your everything for it. And we understood that. But what was the cause? In the case, and this is where we miscalculated, in the case of the civil rights movement, it was an economic cause. It was a life or death cause. Now, when I talk about that in terms of Armenian church, yes, it's life or death for the Armenian church, but who cares about that? Seriously, who cares about that? Okay, because you figure, okay, if the Armenian church closes down, I could always go somewhere else. I could always find something else. And basically, what is it? It's just some kind of incantation. it's some kind of magical mystery tour that you're trying to sell the people. Basically, it didn't have the urgency. It wasn't a matter of life or death. It's a Frisbee game. What kind of a Frisbee you're throwing? Is it going to be underhand, overhand? Doesn't matter. The Frisbee's going to get there. So here's your Frisbee. Take it. Whereas within the civil rights movement, there was a completely different set of circumstances, and I underestimated that. I thought, at least for the Armenian Church, that urgency was there. It needed to be there. But I have now realized that that urgency was there for me, but I wasn't unable to really get it across to people how important, how urgent the matter was. I mean, I go back 20 years, 25 years when we first started the window view of the Armenian Church. I mean, would you believe that 25 years later, nobody in the Armenian Church has yet recreated or continued on that vein of having serious conversation about the Armenian Church theologically, administratively? And I remember back then when we did it, it was a 5-year experiment. We put it out there for the people. 5 years we did it. And we got a lot of people who were on board. It was a labor of love that was supported, just like this, completely by private donations. We didn't go out there and have dinner dances for the window. It was people who believed in it, gave money to it. Isn't that the way it should be, right? You believe in it, you like the product, you buy it. You don't like it, that's capitalism at its best, right? And we had put it out there, and people were into it. But to what extent? Keep up the good work. This is great that you're doing it. But still continuing and not willing to take the next step, which was to bring about the change, the nonviolent resistance. In other words, the protest, the revolution. And so we underestimated the revolution card. That being said, Dr. King is still very inspiring, and I hope that someone does get inspired to pick up where we have left off. I don't know in the years to come how Dr. King's legacy will be commemorated from the In His Shoes perspective. He will always have that honorable and venerable place within the organization as one of the mind leaders. In other words, somebody who gave the inspiration, gave the wording, gave the structure from which we can build. That's for sure. But it would be really beautiful to see somebody pick that up and say that, yes, this is worth serving. And so here we are, 2016. People look to Dr. King, and I'm sure you got a chance through the weekend to read or follow along in many things. There was an interesting article celebrating a dream and a life of nonviolence in one of the independent newspapers I was reading the other day. And, it does the justice. It talks about where King came from, talks about the Birmingham days. It talks about what happened in the post-March on Washington, how civil rights came to be, how the legislation was passed, and the later works that Dr. King was engaged in just before he was assassinated, including an anti-war movement against Vietnam, including always looking for economic justice. But in all the cases, he was talking about life and death situations within the Armenian Church, the language we have provided. But the cause suffers. The cause, can we make that cause a life or death cause? To me, it is. When you're talking about the Armenian Church, you're talking about the most sacred of sacreds, because you're talking about the body of Christ. And I believe this. And unfortunately, at this point, it is in the hands of people who've had lackadaisical responses to it. And that to me is unacceptable because, there's a tenet of Dr. King himself, right? Where there is great disappointment, there is great love. And so if you have great disappointments, you love that thing so much. Yes, I am disappointed with the Armenian church. I could say that because I love it so much that I hate to see it in this situation. But now what do I do about it? And you at some point realize that your hands do get tied. Unless you're willing to make that revolution where you change, you need a group, you need a following, you need people to pick up the arms. Now we did, and we continue to do, in a small way, get that across through the InHishuz mission. But we're seeing through the years that, you know, even the InHishuz mission has failed to catch on to the degree that it should. I know we've got people doing it here and there, but InHishuz really is about understanding that the faith has to be more than a few words, than a few pages, and a few prayers that are uttered, but rather a way of life, giving and sharing and loving. When you read about people who come to faith, it's always remarkable that you always find that people who come to faith, always, I mean, true faith, it never ends up being just something that they keep in a closet. What is the words of Christ? He says, let your light shine. You are the light of the world. He says, if you light a light, you do not put it under a bushel basket. You don't put it under the table, but you put it on top of the table so that it shines, so that everybody can see the light. Well, you have that light. You need to shine it. But we're reluctant to do so. And that's something that I don't want to say I'm giving up on. Hardly. It's not my place to give up on. But let me say that I'm recalculating. I'm trying to figure out what's the best way that we can bring that language, that form and function, that especially in the passing of a David Bowie, you could look at and say, wow, he did that right. Can we do that too? Each one of these people that comes through our lives, whether it's Dr. King, whether it's Bowie, whether it's someone of the saints or just somebody next door, every life influences your life, touches your life, and it's really up to you to gather something, get something before that life passes you by. So I'm taking this opportunity while my hand's in a sling, while I could only write with one hand, while I've got a left hand that is able to write, while I've got voice recognition on my iPad, to at least put these thoughts together. I hope you're with me, and I hope you appreciated the candidness of that. I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, especially before the MLK week or month is gone by. I'd love to hear from you. Let's take a break right now. Here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved.
Hi, this is Susie for InHishuz Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of our listeners for your thoughts, your prayers, your generous donations. They go a long way in moving us forward. This is 2016. Did you catch the number of this podcast today? We are at 398. That means not next week, but the following week, we are at number 400. The Next Step 400. So what, huh? It's just a round number, but it sounds good. Can you believe it? Every week we have come to you with the Next Step. Once a week we bring this this whole crew, this whole entourage, with the grand piano. We used to have harps and horns, all kinds of things. We've downsized to just the grand piano now, and a few other engineers, and a whole assemblage of different equipment that get together once a week to put together this podcast. And I hope you find value in it, because if nothing else, it gives you an opportunity to think about things that do matter beyond the laugh track of your famous or favorite soap opera. That's, by the way, another one of my obsessions that I'm going to share with you one day. It's the laugh tracks on the sitcoms. Like, have you ever thought about it? They put laugh tracks on it. In other words, these are the places that you are supposed to laugh. Because they're not funny, so they're telling you these are the places where you need to laugh. See, I'm telling you, these things get to me, okay? You say, how did you tie in David Bowie with this? Well, it's the same thing with TV, right? It's all media. It's all means by which they get you to do the things they want to. So why can't we use those same means? Why can't we use the same structures, that same infrastructure? Why can't we use the same methods to do the things that are important? Namely, bringing about peace, bringing about justice. Why not? Well, because we're not. Why? How can we? You just do it. And so this is the call. If you find value with us, hey, support it. It's an important investment. It's an important investment in Armadoxy, in realizing that there are things beyond yourself, things that do matter, that need that nurturing and that care. And if you have been giving, thank you very much. God bless you. We really appreciate it. It goes a long way to furthering our mission. I'm going to call it a day. My gravity is now pulling at my arm. If you could see this sling, I don't know, maybe I should take a picture and put it on today's show notes too. Well, let's see. Okay, maybe you'll get that picture too. It's just huge. It's like a huge, huge sling. And my, you ever seen Popeye the Sailor Man? You know, where he's got those giant forearms? Well, my one arm is like that. It's this big old cast that's all wrapped up. And now gravity is pulling it towards the earth. So I'm beginning to feel it. So if you don't mind, I'm going to just take a little bit of a break and go and rest up a little bit. Meanwhile, I'll turn over the works to Susie and Ken and ask them to put it out there and get it out to you. And I look forward to hearing from you. You can always drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net and get involved with us, of course, at Facebook and at the mothership inhisshoes.org. So on behalf of the crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take and talk about the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. Our see the day of glory. See the day of glory. Living here.